Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic and other ex-communist states should keep pushing for visa-free travel to the US until they have it in black and white, says the Czech foreign minister. Police arrested two people for wearing fascist symbols during a far-right march on Saturday, and the Sudoku World Championships in Prague have been won by an American. The Czech Republic and several other former communist states should keep pushing for visa-free travel to the United States until they have it in black and white, the Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg said in Germany's Bremen on Saturday. Mr. Schwarzenberg organized a discussion with colleagues from Slovenia, Poland, Hungary, Estonia, Lithuania and Latvia on the sidelines of a meeting of European Union foreign ministers in the city. Afterwards, the Eastern European foreign ministers issued a statement praising the steps taken so far by Washington to broaden its visa waiver program. Police arrested two people for wearing fascist symbols during a far-right march in the central Bohemian town of Neratovice on Saturday. Around 100 extremists took part in the march, which was organized by a group called National Corporativism. They said they were protesting against damage to the environment. The event was monitored by 300 police officers. Interior Ministry official Michal Mazel said Czech extremists were now holding public demonstrations using the right of assembly rather than private meetings. He said this reflected the trend in Western Europe. The Sudoku World Championships in Prague have been won by an American, Thomas Snyder. The final was attended by Czech President Václav Klaus, who said he completes a Sudoku puzzle every night before going to bed. No Czechs made it to the final, though the Czech Republic did come third in the team category. Some 140 contestants from 31 countries took part in the Sudoku World Championships, which were being held for the second time this year. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Forecasters say it will remain quite sunny over the next few days. Temperatures, though, should gradually drop, with maximum daytime highs of around 11 degrees Celsius later in the week. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find several more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
Welcome to weekend programming on Radio Prague with me, Jan Wellinger. In today's show, Pavla Horáková will be answering your letters and emails in another edition of Mailbox. Letter from Prague looks at how Czechs feel about My Country by Bedřich Smetana. And for the first time, you'll hear our new feature, Pick of the Month, recapping some of the most interesting stories from the month of March. But time now for Mailbox with Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to Mailbox. Another month has passed, and that means it's time to reveal the mystery person from our March competition and announce the names of the four lucky winners who'll be getting Radio Prague goodies. We asked you to tell us the name of a Czech-born British film actor, perhaps best known for his part in the Pink Panther movies with Peter Sellers. And the answer is neither Robert Miller nor David Niven, but...
When I read the question, I thought... Now, who has played with Peter Sellers in The Pink Panther who could possibly be Czech-born? Goodness, it couldn't be Herbert Lom, could it? I have always thought of him as being British, because I saw him so often on British TV when I was young. Actually, I saw him on Japanese TV just a couple of weeks ago in Agatha Christie's Miss Marple, The Murder at the Vicarage, made in 2004, but only just reached us over here.
That was a quote from an email from Christine Takaguchi Coates from Japan. And another faithful listener, Gina Zenkel from Boston, sent us this answer.
Inspector Dreyfus is still alive at age 90. I never knew this much about Herbert Lom. Thanks for posting the question and making me look him up. Lom has no intention of retiring and says he will go on pulling faces till he drops. It's good to know that this old pro has a few more films left in him.
Bart Kaspers follows us here in the Czech Republic.
I think the mystery person you're referring to this month is Mr. Herbert Lom, born as Herbert Charles Angelo Kuchatovich ze Schluderpacherau in Prague on 11th of September 1917.
Mufizur Rahman is writing from Bangladesh.
I think the person you're asking for is Mr. Herbert Lom, a Czech-born character actor best known as Peter Sellers' long-suffering boss, Inspector Dreyfus, in the Pink Panther movies.
Uchenna Ezeani listens to Radio Prague in Nigeria.
I was fascinated when I heard about the March quiz question. To me, it was very necessary that Radio Prague should promote this world icon. Until now, it never occurred to me that Herbert Lom was a Czech. I love British films a lot, and the answer is, of course, easy to me.
Kirk W. Samlal Singh tunes into our broadcast in Canada.
His career, which began in the 1930s, comprises more than 100 film and TV credits. Apart from playing the role of Commissioner Dreyfus in many of the Pink Panther movies, he has also been cast as the Phantom of the Opera, Napoleon Bonaparte, and even Captain Nemo.
Paul R. Peacock from Australia had this to say.
The British film actor you seek is Herbert Lom, which is a name much easier for many of us, and I'm sure for himself when writing out a cheque, than his birth name of Herbert Charles Angelo Kuchatovich ze Schluderpacherau. He's appeared alongside such greats as Jack Lemmon, Alec Guinness and Robert Mitchum, but he's probably best known for his appearances in the Pink Panther movies, certainly to me, as I've seen every one of them.
And Colin Law from New Zealand wrote this.
Herbert Lom's most recent appearance was in the 2004 Miss Marple TV movie, The Murder at the Vicarage, as Professor Dufosse.
And finally, Harold Yeglin is writing from the United States.
Herbert Lom played the role of Dreyfus, Inspector Clouseau's boss, in the Pink Panther movies, and in each was nearly driven crazy by the goofy Clouseau's antics.
Many thanks for all your answers and personal comments. The lucky four who will get small presents from Radio Prague this time are Bart Kaspers from the Czech Republic, Uchenna Ezeani from Nigeria, Rosemary Arsenault from Canada and Harold Yeglin from the United States. Congratulations, and your parcels are in the post. If you haven't been lucky this time, why not try it in April? It sometimes happens that two inventors simultaneously come up with the same idea, independently of each other. This was, for instance, the case with the lightning rod, which was invented by Benjamin Franklin and also a Czech scientist at roughly the same time. We'd like to know the name of the Czech inventor. Please send your answers, as usual, to Radio Prague 12099 Prague, or you can also send us a quick email to english@radio.cz. Before I go, I'd like to thank you all for tuning into Mailbox and writing into us for the time I've been in charge of the programme, which has almost been 3 years now. This has been my last Mailbox, as I'm handing the programme over to my colleague Colleen O'Connor, who I'm sure will bring some fresh new ideas to the programme. Goodbye.
Thanks, Pavla. Once again, if you want to get your comments on the air or comment anything you've heard in our programs, this is how. Simply write to english@radio.cz or drop us a line to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Speaking of letters, how about a letter of a different kind? Letter from Prague with Lenka Petáková.
There's no doubt that Má vlast, or My Country, by Bedřich Smetana is the most popular piece by this composer among Czech as well as foreign audiences. The whole cycle of symphonic poems is played mostly on special occasions, such as the opening concerts of the Prague Spring Festival. For Czech natives, it is a work which makes them feel almost as if they were listening to the national anthem. Czech Airlines is also aware of this to a certain extent representative role of the piece and often plays it to their passengers inside the aircraft upon landing at Ruzyně Airport in Prague. Along with words from the captain comes Smetana's enthralling music, and this certainly isn't a random choice. It captures the imagination of the most hardened of returnees and, at the very least, it engages the foreigner because he has probably heard this familiar melody somewhere before. Mávlast is thus essentially becoming an advertisement for the Czech Republic. Recently, I conducted a survey which attempted to map out the views of the music-loving public at the beginning of the 21st century on one of the fundamental and best-known works in Czech music literature. I collected 53 opinions on the cycle, where I asked them to reflect upon the theme, how can one view Mávlast today? Are we still able to form an independent view of this work and see it in our own way, or do we interpret it in the way we were told at school? As an illustration, let's mention the view of a young respondent in my survey when I ask her what she imagines and what she feels when she listens to Mávlast. My interpretation of the piece is ingrained inside me. It was instilled in me even before I heard the work for the first time, so I'm influenced by it, and I doubt that the feelings I get when I listen to it are my own. I had a patriotic reaction to the piece implanted in me. On the other hand, it's clear that a large majority of Czech audiences have their own personal attitude towards Mávlast. When they hear the work, Czech concert audiences generally imagine the Czech countryside and see images of old Czech legends and scenes from Czech history. If the younger generation occasionally voices reservations about Mávlast, it's surprising how much enthusiasm most respondents had for the work in general. They even spoke of strong euphoria, almost rapture, feelings of joy, or simply wonderful emotions. There probably aren't that many works which would have such an impact, particularly on Czech concertgoers. So, the next time you listen to Mávlast, I hope you, like many Czechs, enjoy the most profound emotional experience.
My thanks to Lenka. Now, it's once again that time of the year when Radio Prague holds its listeners' competition. This year we ask, which Czech film do you remember most fondly and why? The person who sends us the best answer by July 15th will win a week-long stay in the Czech Republic with flight tickets from a European destination. There will also be other many interesting prizes for runners-up. You can look up all the details, and please do, at our website. The address is www.radio.cz. Don't forget, the latest you can enter is July 15th. Answers can be sent to Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic, or you can send us an email. The address there is cr@radio.cz. With our new spring and summer schedule, we bring you now a new feature called Pick of the Month, presented by Colleen O'Connor. The new show highlights some of the most interesting stories on Radio Prague in the month of March.
Hello, and welcome to Pick of the Month, a new feature which takes a quick look back at some of the highlights in our programming over the past 30 days or so. You may have heard us reporting last month on architect Jan Kaplitsky's controversial blob-like design for the new National Library building. In her letter from Prague, however, Pavla Horáková preferred to focus on the state-of-the-art library services that will be offered at the new facility, which will house around 10 million books that can be retrieved for readers within 5 minutes of ordering them. A far cry, she says, from her days as a student when she used to visit the current National Library in the historic Clementinum building near Charles Bridge.
In my time, the Clementinum's so-called Hall of Services was a huge space with rows and rows of ancient card index boxes. In them you could find thousands of file cards the size of a postcard in different states of disintegration. To be fair, some were only a few decades old, but there were a lot of those whose colour had turned to yellowish-brown after they'd been touched by thousands of fingers. Most were typewritten, but many also filled out in 19th-century calligraphic handwriting. When I found my desired book in the box, I copied the numbers and details onto a form, which I then slipped into a sort of a letterbox. I was to come back hours or even days later to pick up my book. At that point, I was often told that it had been lent to someone else or that I used the wrong card index box and chose a copy which cannot be taken away. After several failed attempts like that, I just gave up on the National Library altogether.
Pavla Horakova there, remembering her days as a student in the National Library. The depressing sound of Czech white power music, as featured in an edition of Panorama by Dita Asiedu, which looked at right-wing extremism and the neo-Nazi skinhead movement in the Czech Republic. Many experts on the subject whom Dita interviewed say that the problem is not as acute as it was in the early 1990s, but that there are still some nasty, racist elements in Czech society. One of the people Dita talked to was a Chinese woman, Lev Shu, who has been living in Prague for around 8 years.
I don't have that much experience about skinhead, but my colleagues, they had. One of them, he had experienced 3-4 years ago, and in metro station Mustaq. He went walking out from metro to outside, and just one guy, skinhead, something like 25 years old, around 25 years old, just walk in front of him and start beat him. Actually, somebody around them, they could see, but they don't know what to do. They didn't help. Another person, she's a lady, something around 40 years old. She, one day evening, around 9 o'clock, she went back home. Standing in front of the gate, main gate, tried to find a key, open the door. But two young boys came to her. They hit her nose, and her nose bones will be broken. And police found them. One is very young, even less than 18 years old. Another one around 20.
But you yourself, you say you've not had any experiences with skinheads?
I don't have that much terrible experience. But just a few months ago, I was walking on Václavský Square. And there were a small group, something around 10 people. They were shouting something, but I don't know what exactly they're shouting about. But I saw them, I don't think they looked friendly. And I tried to turn from Václavský Square to the main post office. They were following me, looking at me really unfriendly. I was scared, really scared. So I'm walking around till I find the gate to main post office. I jumped in and said, wow, I could take it easy now at least.
Chinese woman Lev Shu there, talking to Dita Asiedu. Now, for an edition of Spotlight last month, Jan Wellinger went to the UNESCO-listed town of Kutná Hora, which boasts the spectacular St. Barbara's Cathedral, as well as a macabre ossuary which houses sculptures made from the bones of around 40,000 people. Thanks to silver mines in the area, it was also the site of the Royal Mint in medieval times. Jan paid a visit to the old coin-striking works there, which is open to the public.
We're just about to see a demonstration of how master minters worked. Traditionally, 15 were employed hammering out an incredible 2,000 coins over 12 hours each day, 7 days a week. Says Rudolf Bezvoda, who greets tourists viewing the mint, many of those master minters eventually lost their hearing from the constant clanging of hammers. And although they were extremely well paid in their day, not many lived to what one would call a ripe old age. But it was perhaps even worse for local prisoners.
Local crooks who had been caught had to help by placing or setting the coin, and if the minter happened to miss, they got the full hammer's blow across their fingers. There's even a saying in Czech that when you're bad, you get whacked across your fingers. The prisoners had to put up with it for a month, and if they weren't crippled by the end of it, they stood a chance of getting pardoned.
All I can say is ouch.
Jan Wellinger there, who paid a trip to the town of Kutná Hora for an edition of Spotlight.
You are listening to the Legal Free Radio Station of Czechoslovakia. We appeal to all radio stations, please.
A brief clip from British director Leslie Woodhead's docudrama Invasion, which recreates the events of the Russian occupation of Czechoslovakia in 1968. Woodhead's film was based on the testimony of Zdeněk Mlynář, a member of Alexander Dubček's inner circle and one of the architects of the Prague Spring, who defected to the West in the 1970s. For our one-on-one feature last month, I spoke with Leslie Woodhead when he paid a visit to Prague, and I asked him how reliable Mr. Mlynář's version of the events of August 1968 was.
He really was a superb witness. He remained a committed Marxist and had some wonderful circumlocutions. I'll never forget him saying when they were sitting in Dubček's office on August the 22nd, 1968, he said, at this point, the contradiction sharpened. And I said to him, well, what the heck does that mean? And he said, a dozen Soviet soldiers burst through the door with Kalashnikovs. Only a theoretical Marxist could describe such an appalling event in such a cold way, but he was a marvelous witness, and through his very detailed account, we were able to build a drama documentary to try and tell the story of Prague 68.
You actually revisited that theme then in 1991 when you had a meeting with Dubček. What was it like meeting with Dubček, and what did the man himself make of all of this?
After the Velvet Revolution, which of course I followed with tremendous interest, we got a call from Dubček to say, I would like to see Invasion, the film that you made in 1980 about the Soviet invasion, which was kind of extraordinary. It then became clear that Dubček had seen something of Invasion when he was in exile in Bratislava. It spilled over the border from Austrian television, and he saw some of it, but he wanted to meet the people who'd made it. So I came to Prague with some colleagues, and we sat in Dubček's office and viewed Invasion together with him, which was something I shall never forget. He was immensely riveted on the screen and in what was going on. He followed every nuance of the story with little exclamations and nods and absolute absorption. I'll never forget the moment where we showed the scene where the Soviet leadership marches into the meeting with the Czechs, and Dubček was looking at the screen and he said under his breath, "Demagogue." Which I thought was a thrilling moment, but he kept saying, it was just like that, that's right. Which was tremendously validating, as you can imagine.
British docudrama director Leslie Woodhead recalling a meeting with Alexander Dubček in an edition of One on One. The unmistakable psychedelic sound of the Plastic People of the Universe, the rock band who were the catalyst for the Charter 77 human rights movement, which came into being after the communist regime clamped down on the group in the mid-1970s. The Plastics were the inspiration behind Czech-born playwright Tom Stoppard's latest drama, Rock and Roll, whose Czech version premiered at the end of February. Rock and Roll focuses on both the Czech and British intellectual milieus of the 1970s, and captures the creeping disillusionment of that era, which emerged in the wake of the Soviet occupation of Czechoslovakia. For his Czech books feature, David Vaughan talked to the Czech translator of the play, Jitka Slopova.
I was 15 in 1968, but I still remember this enthusiasm, and which hasn't declined after the occupation. It went on and on. Normal people were still slightly optimistic. It's very well put in the play that it was until April 69 when Dubček was forced to resign.
And I have a feeling that one of the strengths of the play is that it shows to an English-speaking audience very powerfully how in a totalitarian society, you can't assume that the authorities will leave you alone if you just remain quiet. Sooner or later, you become compromised. Mm-hmm. That's something that Czechs, I think, are very familiar with. So to what extent can that message be translated to a Czech audience in the Czech version of the play?
Well, I think very well, because it reflects the Czech literature, the dissident literature, and I think even the official literature had such themes. So I think when seeing this, one realizes that there is, of course, also a way not to get into trouble, but it's sort of a death of your social life, of your inner life even. I think that everybody still remembers this state of soul. So I think that's also what works in Stoppard's rock and roll here in Prague.
Translator Jitka Slopova there, who was talking to David Vaughan in an edition of Czech Books. And that excerpt brings us to the end of today's Pick of the Month. Before I go, I'd like to remind you that you can find complete versions of all the reports you heard today on our website at www.radio.cz. Don't forget, you can also join me, Colleen O'Connor, on the first Sunday in May for the next Pick of the Month.
And that just about brings us to the end of today's show. You were listening there to Colleen O'Connor with our new program, Pick of the Month. For myself, Jan Wellinger, and all the rest of us here at Radio Prague, we want to thank you for listening, and please do tune in again soon.
Question.